You know, this I got to throw this in. This made me so angry. Who's ever heard of the Sword of the Lord newspaper? You know, and I get the Sword of the Lord. It comes to my house because the Sword of the Lord, they send it to you. If you're an independent Baptist church, they pretty much just send it to you. So I get like a free subscription. And it's, you know, sometimes it has a lot of good stuff in there. And, you know, the people who operate the Sword of the Lord newspaper, you know, they definitely are straight down the line on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, they believe that salvation is by faith alone, not of works. They're for soul winning. They're for believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And, you know, so I get this newspaper and every once in a while I leaf through it, you know, and check it out. But anyway, there was this ad in there. And this illustrates my point perfectly. There's this ad in the Sword of the Lord. I kept seeing this real big ad. You know, a huge ad. And it was for this Bible college up in North Dakota. And it said that the tuition is free. And the housing is free. I'm looking at it, I'm like, huh? You know, so these kids are going to Bible college, and it's just total free housing, total free tuition. And, you know, I kept seeing this ad, and it's just saying, it's free, it's free, it's free. And then it started saying, like, $100 a month. You know, everything's covered. $100. I was thinking, like, wow, that's crazy. Because most of these Bible colleges, and I'm against all Bible colleges anyway, but most of these Bible colleges, I mean, it's pretty expensive to go there. I mean, when I went to Bible college, it was $500 a month just for the tuition. You know, that wasn't any place to live or food or anything. This was $500 just for the tuition alone. So this is like free place to live, everything. So I was like, who is this guy? Like, I've never even heard of this guy. So I looked it up on the internet. And, you know, it was just some total liberal, watered down, no soul winning. And then I get this thing in the mail from the guy. You know, this color glossy brochure, you know, telling me how it's all free and it's all paid for and it's such a good deal. And then you read it, he's basically attacking soul winning in this, criticizing soul winning. So I'm like, what is this guy's deal? So he said, you know, we don't do this kind of soul winning where we just, you know, go out and, you know, quickly, you know, get somebody saved or whatever. We do this 7-week Bible study to get somebody saved. You know, whatever happened to now is the day of salvation. Yeah. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But no, it's, you know, this, we do the 7-week thing. And it says, it's on this website, 7stepstogod.org. So I'm like, okay, so I went on the internet, I printed it out, okay? And, you know, this is this huge, long lessons. But I get to lesson 7. This is the one where the people are supposedly getting saved. Let me tell you something. I have never seen a more lying, deceiving plan of salvation in my entire life from a Baptist. I mean, I can't even understand how this guy would even call himself a Baptist or an independent Baptist, and yet he's advertising in the Sword of the Lord, which believes all the right gospel. And I promise you, if the Sword of the Lord knew what this guy believed, they'd quit running his big, giant, stupid ad. And I wish somebody would call the Sword of the Lord and tell him about this guy and say, hey, this guy is not a Baptist. This guy is not saved. He's a liar. But see, he allures through the finances. Oh, children, you're trying to pick where you want to go to college when you turn 18? This one's free. It's all free. You know, you get there and it's all lies. Let me read it to you. I'll prove it to you. And look, let me tell you something. When I preach behind this pulpit, I name the names. If you read the New Testament of Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about this new-fangled idea of what preaching is and ethics and morality. I don't care about any of that stuff. I care about what the Bible says. The word ethics is not in the Bible. The word morality is not in the Bible. You know what's in the Bible? Right and wrong. That's what's in the Bible. And the Bible teaches us that we should point out and expose the false prophets and false teachers of our day, especially when they're pretending to be one of us. And pretending to be a fundamental Baptist. And pretending to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you know the name Hermogenes? You say, I don't. Well, that's because you don't read the Bible. Okay? How do you know the name Hermogenes? How do you know the name Hymenaeus? How do you know the name Philetus? How do you know the name Alexander? How do you know the name Diotrephes? Because these are false preachers that were around during the days of Peter, James, and John, and Paul. They pointed them out. In their epistles that they wrote to the churches, they said, beware of this guy Alexander. Beware of Hymenaeus. Beware of Phygellus. Beware of Philetus. Beware of Hermogenes. Beware. I mean, Paul said this. He said, what did he say? Let me turn there. I'll tell you what he said. He said something good. Let me get there and tell you what it was. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, he said this. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often. This is verse 18. So did he tell them of this sometimes? He said, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He said, I often told you about the enemies. I often pointed them out. I often named them by name. So let's name the name. This guy's name is Tony Skeving. You get that? You know, you're like, who's that? I don't even know who that is. Tony Skeving in Fargo, North Dakota with his Master's Bible College. Listen to this. Listen to this guy's plan of salvation. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this. He's talking about, and the whole thing is about repenting of your sins. That's what number 7 is all about. And people say, why are you so hung up on that issue about repenting of your sin? You know why? Because of this. Because of lying like this that's going to send people to hell because it's the wrong plan of salvation. Let me prove it to you. Listen to what he says here. True conversion to Christ requires a willingness to take a stand for him. Listen to this. Salvation is simple, but it's not shallow. It will cost you something to follow Christ. It may be free, but it costs Christ his life. Now, wait a minute. Can somebody help me out? Doesn't something that's free not cost anything? Am I mixed up here? Somebody help me out here. Isn't the definition of free that it doesn't cost? So he says, like, it's going to cost you something. It may be free, but it cost Christ his life. Yeah, it did cost Christ his life. That's why it doesn't cost me anything. That's the whole point. I mean, everything costs something, but guess what? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And so Jesus Christ paid it all. No, it doesn't cost. Yeah, it'll cost me something to follow Christ, but does it cost anything to be saved? No! Because Jesus already paid that price with his blood on the cross. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags to him. We can't buy our way in. Yeah, it's going to cost you something. It may be free, but it's going to cost you something. Huh? That doesn't make any sense. And he says, the next point is this. Every person must carefully consider how much they really want to be saved. He says, you need to count the cost. Do you mean business with God? While salvation is free, it's not cheap. What? I'm reading this exactly. Go look it up yourself. While salvation's free, it's not cheap. It's going to cost you something. I know it's free, but it's not cheap. Well, I know it's not cheap. It's free. That's why it doesn't cost me anything. So how? Okay, I'm deciding whether I really want to be saved. Let me count the cost. Zero. Okay, I'll take it. Right? I mean, if it's going to cost something, then it's not free. Somebody needs to explain to this guy what the word free means.
Hey, you better count the cost whether you're willing to pay zero to be saved.
It's nonsense. Listen to this. This is the next point. Are you willing to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of your life? Salvation all boils down to being willing to make Christ the Lord of your life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This verse above gives a promise. In essence, it's saying, whosoever will make Jesus Lord shall be saved. Oh, is that what that says? Okay, so if I'm going to call upon Dave here, let me pick up my phone here. Dave, you're the new Lord of my life. You are I'm your slave for the rest of my life now because I'm calling upon your name. That's not what it just says, whosoever shall call upon the name. What is the name of the Lord that he's referring to? Jesus. Calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That means that he's your master and you're going to obey everything he says. No, that's not what it means. It says you call upon the name of the Lord. And he says, are you willing to turn from sin and submit to God by trusting him and giving him total control of your life? Now look, who in this room can honestly say Jesus Christ has total control of my life? 100%. I guess none of us are saved. Because according to him, this is what you have to do to be saved. Yeah. Give him total control. Well, I don't think anybody has done that. Then you'd be perfect, wouldn't you? He says this. He says, repentance, you know, you've got to turn from wrong to right. Repentance is what is missing in most people who want to be born again. When it comes to going to heaven, most want their cake. They want to have their cake and eat it too. It says. They want to go to heaven, but not turn away from the sin that's taking them to hell. Repentance is the key. Well, hold on a second. Is it really possible for us to turn from our sins? No. Oh, no, no, no. You don't get it, Pastor Anderson. You just have to be willing to turn. Well, what if I'm just willing to be willing to turn? Or do I have to be willing to be willing to be willing to turn? Where does the Bible say willing to turn? Where does the Bible say? Last I checked, it said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yeah. Last I checked, it said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Last time I checked, it said, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from dead to life. Last time I checked, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. Last time I checked, he said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Last time I checked, he said that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I thought salvation was just believe on him and just call upon him. Just confess with your mouth. Just faith, not works. Not paying a price. Jesus paid the price. It's free. It's a gift. The gift of God's eternal life, not of works, lest any man should boast.
But he says repentance is the twin sister of faith.
And I guess it's a Siamese twin, apparently. It can't be separated. You know what? Repentance is the wicked stepsister of faith, I think, is repenting of your sin. But anyway, the evil twin, the one that's not salvation, okay? And you say, well, the Bible says you got to repent. Where does the Bible say repent of your sins? It's not, there's nowhere we find the phrase repent of your sins or repent of his sin. Repent of their sins. It's not there. And so this is garbage, but he says, in order to be born again, we must be willing to repent or make a 180-degree turn. Okay? And listen to this. He says, you've got to turn from wrong to right. He says, normally, he says this, an idol is anything that comes before God. Money, materialism, booze, illicit, I'll just say things that go on in the bedroom, false church or religion. We must turn from it in order to get to God. Normally, there's one main thing that stands in our way of getting saved. Are you willing to repent of it? So basically what he's saying is if you drink, if you're not willing to turn from that, you can't be saved. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Yep. If you're not willing to turn from materialism, you can't be saved. This is a total work salvation. Yep. He's basically saying you've got to sell everything you have to be saved. You got to get rid of your materialism. You know, you got to never touch a drop of alcohol again. I've never even tasted beer in my life. I'm against drinking. But you know what? People who drink are still going to be in heaven if they believe on Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Because that's the whole point. Your sins are going to be forgiven. Otherwise, you don't even need Jesus. You're just going to earn your own way in. He says, getting saved means repenting of sin and making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I mean, is this extreme? This guy is saying that, I mean, he's got to be in control of every area of your life. You've got to repent of every sin. You've got to count the cost. This is, you know, it's free, but, you know, it's going to cost a lot. It's free, but it costs a lot. You've got to be willing to pay a really big price because it's free. It means making the Lord, I mean, I'm just reading all this right now. It means making the Lord priority number one in life. He must become the king of your life. You submit to him by following his word. It's all about obedience. Is that what salvation is all about? Obedience. Works. Doing the work. Obeying him. Turning from your sins. Well, then it's impossible for anybody to be saved. Tony Skeving. Bastards Baptist College or whatever. Masters Baptist College. Sorry, I had a little speech impediment there. And look, people get upset that you point these people out. I'm going to point them out. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the wolves in sheep's clothing and everybody's afraid to point it out. And you know what? Sword of the Lord. Thank God for Sword of the Lord and thank God that they take a stand on the right plan of salvation. But what are they doing advertising this guy? You know, and I think they probably just don't even know it. Because if they knew it, I don't think they would do it. Because I'm telling you something, this guy is alluring through money. He makes it all free. You couldn't pay me to send my kids to this guy's college. You couldn't pay me, Sodom Baptist College, Tony Sodom. You couldn't pay me to send my children to your damnable heresy college because I don't care about the money, Tony. I don't care about what you're offering. Free, and it's all free, and he'll give you everything. Hey, the devil will give you everything too. But you know what? I don't want what the devil has to offer. I want the people. I want my children to live for God and to go soul winning, not to sit around and say soul winning doesn't work. We need to have a seven-step Jehovah's Witness Bible study. And these Baptists, they think they came up with some cool new thing. They just took it from the Jehovah's Witnesses. A seven-week Bible study. You think it's a joke, but these people really do think it takes 7 weeks to get somebody saved. And I'm just thinking to myself, what if they die in the meantime? Think about that for a minute. I remember I was talking to a guy, and he said he went to a church, and he said, you know, they wanted him to try this four-week Bible study for getting people saved, and he was just trying to get along, so he said, I'm going to try it. And he went and did the first week, and it's like he just wanted to finish. But he's like, see you next week. You know, he comes back a week later, Doesn't make any sense. Today's the day of salvation. If you're not saved, get saved today. And when we go out soul winning, we want people to get saved today.
Right.
We don't want to say, all right, see you in a few weeks. If you can hang with me for 2 months in this Bible study, then I'll tell you that you have to repent of everything to be saved. Then he gives you a list of what you got to repent of. He said, here's some examples of stuff you might repent of. He's got 9 things on the list. Number one, what people will think. He said, some people are fearful about what people think. You gotta get over that. Number two, self-importance and pride. Number three, sexual immorality. The woman at the well in John 4 had to repent of her sexual immorality to be saved. Do you remember that part of the story? I don't remember that part. Listen to this, alcohol. You have to repent of alcohol to be saved. That's number four. And then it says, because it says, drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, guess what? It also says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth in fire and brimstone. We've all lied before. It says, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. We've all lied, but if we believe on Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. That's the whole point.
Amen.
He says this, you got to repent of false religion. That's the only one I agree with. Yeah, you can't worship some other religion. Obviously, then you're not believing in Christ. Family. Okay, listen to this. The healed blind man of John 9 parted from his family when he got saved. So you may have to leave the family to get saved. Leave your family. If you're not willing to leave your family, sorry, can't be saved. Is this nonsense or what? Listen to this. Number 7, greed and materialism. Zacchaeus the tax collector had to turn from his greed and materialism to be born again. Of course, there's no verse, no scripture reference on that. Just take his word for it. Now listen to this. This is my favorite one. Wrong living. The Philippian jailer was willing to repent and turn from his rough living. Here's the proof. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Of course, the answer was, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, if thou turnest from thy rough living. Where does the Bible say that the Philippian jailer lived a rough life? I guess just because he was a jailer. I mean, have you ever been to jail before? Those guys are rough. He had to repent of his fooling. He went back to being a jailer the next day after he got saved. Right? He put him back in the jail cell and locked the door. So he had to repent of his rough living. See how they're just adding to God's word? That's nowhere in the story. He had to turn from his rough living. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then, you know, the rich young ruler was not willing to repent. He held on to his self-righteousness. Actually, he said that he didn't want to get rid of his money. So I guess now you have to sell everything you have and give to the poor to be saved. You got to stop your rough living. You got to stop us. And he says, sadly, there are some not willing to repent. King Agrippa wasn't willing to turn from his sin. That's why he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Based on what? You know, was anybody here on Acts 26, right? Anything like that in the story? No. And so the bottom line is, this is lying heresy. And so don't be deceived by something just because it says Baptist on the sign. I mean, that to me, that's worse than a Roman Catholic. I mean, that's extreme. That's pretty extreme. And let me tell you this. This guy is using money as his carrot in the nose, in front of the nose. Say, hey, the money. Look at the deal. I'll pay for buy, you know. And look, there are people out there that'll buy your drugs for you too. You know what I mean? You got to decide that you're not going to make decisions based on money. That guy doesn't have anything spiritual to offer. He doesn't say, oh, come for the soul winning. He doesn't have soul winning. He doesn't say, come for the gospel. He's preaching a false gospel. But it's a really good deal, guys. And so I hope my kids grow up and go there because it's a killer deal. Save me a fortune. But you know what? My soul and my children's souls and their lives don't come that cheap.